Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, THE Classroom Management Book by Harry K. Wong with Rosemary T. Wong, Sarah F. Jondal, and Orintha F. Ferguson is a professional education guide focused on the practical organization of classrooms. Positioned as a companion to THE First Days of School, it concentrates on one major condition of effective teaching a classroom in which routines, expectations, and responsibilities are clear enough for learning to proceed without constant teacher correction. The book belongs to the classroom management and teacher development genre, but its emphasis is less theoretical than procedural. It presents management as a system of taught routines rather than as a personality trait or a collection of disciplinary reactions. Its purpose is to help teachers structure daily classroom life so that students know what to do, transitions consume less time, and preventable behavior problems are reduced. The result is a resource aimed at making classroom order visible, repeatable, and adaptable across grade levels and school settings. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, classroom management is built from procedures rather than improvised control. A central idea of THE Classroom Management Book is that order in a classroom is not mainly produced by teacher charisma, strictness, or repeated correction. It is produced by procedures that define what students do during recurring classroom moments. This distinction matters because many discipline problems begin in ambiguity. If students do not know how to enter the room, ask for help, turn in work, transition between activities, or respond when the teacher is occupied, they fill the gap with their own habits. The book treats these ordinary moments as management infrastructure. By naming them and turning them into procedures, the teacher reduces the number of decisions that must be negotiated in real time. This approach also shifts management away from emotional confrontation. A procedure is not a punishment and not a personal preference hidden in the teacher mind. It is a shared operational agreement. The strength of the book lies in making routine classroom actions visible enough to be planned, taught, practiced, and improved. Secondly, the 50 procedure format turns expectations into teachable routines. The book is known for presenting 50 classroom procedures that can be applied, adapted, or changed for different classrooms. The importance of this format is that it treats management expectations as curriculum. Students are not assumed to understand how a teacher wants classroom life to function simply because a rule has been announced. Instead, a procedure must be explained, modeled, practiced, reinforced, and connected to an outcome. Rather than advising teachers to establish routines in general terms, it breaks classroom life into repeatable actions and asks what students should do in each case. The consistent format also helps teachers evaluate gaps in their current management plan. If a recurring disruption exists, the question becomes whether there is a missing procedure, an unclear procedure, or a procedure that has not been taught well enough. This practical architecture is why the book is frequently useful to beginning teachers, but it can also help experienced teachers refine inconsistent routines. Thirdly, discipline prevention receives more attention than behavior reaction. The book frames classroom management as a preventive system rather than a sequence of responses after students misbehave. This is a meaningful difference from books that focus heavily on consequences, rewards, or teacher scripts for confrontation. Wong and co-authors emphasize that many discipline problems decrease when the classroom is predictable, the teacher is prepared, and students have clear routines for common situations. Prevention does not mean ignoring misconduct. It means reducing the conditions that allow avoidable misconduct to grow. For example, confusion during transitions, delays in materials distribution, uncertainty about participation, or unclear expectations for independent work can all create openings for off-task behavior. A procedural classroom narrows those openings. The teacher still needs judgment, relationships, and responsiveness, but fewer minutes are consumed by preventable disorder. This approach also protects instructional time. When students know what to do without constant prompting, the teacher can spend more attention on learning, feedback, and support rather than managing avoidable friction. Fourthly, real classroom plans show how procedures become a management system. Beyond listing procedures, the book includes classroom management plans used by practicing teachers. This feature is important because individual procedures only become powerful when they connect into a coherent system. A classroom plan clarifies how the first days of school, daily routines, student movement, work submission, attention signals, and expectations fit together. The inclusion of teacher plans also reinforces that the book is not proposing one identical classroom for every educator. Procedures must match grade level, subject area, school setting, room layout, and student needs. A kindergarten classroom, a secondary science class, and a departmentalized middle school setting require different operational details. The shared principle is not uniformity, it is intentionality. Teachers should be able to explain how students will carry out essential classroom actions before those moments occur. The sample plans help readers move from isolated tips to design thinking. they encourage teachers to prepare a management structure before school begins, instead of building one only after problems appear. Lastly, the practical no-cost design is useful, but it requires contextual adaptation. A major appeal of the book is its common sense, no-cost orientation. The recommended improvements usually depend on planning, clarity, consistency, and teaching routines rather than purchasing programs or adopting complex behavior platforms. This makes the book accessible to teachers working in varied resource conditions. It also connects classroom management to teacher sustainability. A classroom with reliable routines can reduce stress because the teacher is not constantly inventing responses, repeating directions, or negotiating basic expectations. However, the procedural style also has limits if applied mechanically. Classrooms are social and cultural spaces, not only logistical systems. Teachers still need to attend to student relationships, developmental differences, trauma-informed practice, language diversity, technology use, and culturally responsive expectations. The best use of the book is therefore adaptive rather than rigid. Its procedures provide a planning template. But teachers must translate that template into routines that are respectful, age-appropriate, and aligned with the realities of their students and school community. In conclusion, the Classroom Management Book is best suited for preservice teachers, early career teachers, mentors, instructional coaches, and experienced educators who want to make classroom routines more explicit. Its practical benefit is that it converts a broad and often stressful topic into manageable design decisions. Readers can leave with a clearer plan for entrances, transitions, work routines, participation, materials, and other recurring classroom events. Its intellectual benefit is the reframing of management as taught procedure rather than reactive discipline. That reframing helps teachers analyze problems more precisely. A disruption may signal not simply poor behavior, but unclear expectations, insufficient practice, or an unmanaged transition point. Compared with many classroom management books, it stands out for its procedural specificity and implementation focus. It is less concerned with theory, personality, or inspirational teaching identity, and more concerned with what students and teachers actually do minute by minute. The inclusion of multiple procedures, real teacher management plans, and supplemental digital resources makes it a usable planning tool rather than only a reading assignment. Readers looking for deep treatment of culturally responsive management or newer technology challenges may need complementary resources. But as a foundation for organizing classroom life, it remains a distinctive and concrete guide. If you would like to support Harry K. Wong, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.